Yo, good morning. How are you this morning?
So this isn't my boldest uniform. This is just one up from the one that Brian wore a couple weeks ago. I got Jesus on each leg. And I got Jesus on my back. And I got Jesus on my front. Where is he? Oh, wait a minute. Oh, but the most important thing is right here. Why is that? Does anybody know why that is? Okay, we know what that means. But what kind of uniform is this? It's a racing uniform. Okay, and it's got cross-checkered flags on there. What does that mean? Race is over, doesn't it? Right? So guess who understands that? The racers understand what happens when they throw the cross-checkered flag. It's over. Okay, it is finished. And then that gives us an opportunity to explain what the checkered flag really is. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for, Lord, for so much. I just am overwhelmed, as that song goes, just overwhelmed at how you are moving in the lives of your people. Lord, not only in this church, in this community, in the racing community, Lord, just in this world, Lord, there seems to be a desire to seek you out. Lord, help us to be prepared. Help us to be ready. Help us to be excited to proclaim the hope we have and who that hope is in. Lord, as we come before you this morning, we just ask that you to help us to set everything aside. Lord, just that we would find you, hear you, and let your word make an impression upon our heart that is lasting, that doesn't fade quickly. Lord, let the glory of meeting you face to face shine in our lives throughout this week. Fill us, Lord. Enable us. Join you. Proclaim the hope that the world needs to hear. For we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Kevin, would you come and read scripture?
It's in there, Numbers. Sort of. If you would turn as well to Numbers 27, we're going to start on verse 15.
How's that? Thank you, Ben. We're going to read from the book of Numbers, starting at 27, chapter 27, verse 15, to the end of the chapter. Just making sure I have my marks there. So Moses spoke to the Lord, saying, "Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, appoint a man over the congregation who shall go out before them and come in before them, who shall lead them out and bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord may not be as sheep that have no shepherd." So the Lord said to Moses, "Take Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand on him. Make him stand before Eleazar, the priest, and all the congregation, and you shall commission him in their sight. You shall invest him with some of your authority, that all the congregation of the people of Israel may obey. And he shall stand before Eleazar, the priest, who shall inquire for him by the judgment of the Urim before the Lord. At his word they shall go out, and at his word they shall come in, both he and all the people of Israel with him, the whole congregation. And Moses did as the Lord commanded him. He took Joshua, and he made him stand before Eleazar, the priest, and the whole congregation. And he laid his hands on him and commissioned him as the Lord directed through Moses. This is the word of the Lord to be used in our lives. Amen?
Amen. Amen. So what's the context? Growing pain. Growing pain. How big is the church now in Acts? 5,000 plus. Now men and women are added to their number every day. They stopped counting at 5,000, and the last verse we read last week was they're adding to their... Do you think there might be some issues? How big is this church? Do we have issues? No? No, we're good, right? Right. Long, if you have more than one person, if you have two people, guess what you got? Issues, differences of opinion. Okay? And so Moses said, Lord, they need somebody to tell them what to do. and God said, take them, lay your hands on them, and set them apart for that. You know, find, you know, select somebody and set them apart. So you know, the point is, we're not all wired the same way. Okay? And the scripture cautions us that if you want to be the teacher or the leader, that's a different responsibility. But he still empowered the community to look and select those that have that ability to do that. And so when we're looking for leadership, where is it going to come from? Right here. It's not coming from out there. I know you found me out there. I apologize. Sorry about that. But Kevin and Corey have been here, and that continuity comes through. And as we progress down the road, God's going to bring other people in. I know in the organization that I lead of Racing with Jesus, that's my prayer. Part of my prayer daily is, who's next? Who's next? And God helped me to identify who's next. God helped me to equip. Who's next? God help me to encourage and support who's next. Help me to pour my authority out on who's next. And that's a large process. It's a large process. And so we have to understand, and I don't think it's a secret to anybody sitting here. Deb just illustrated it today by having another birthday. Nobody stopped having birthdays, right? Some of us stopped counting, but we're still having birthdays. What does that mean? We're getting older, right? We're on the other end of that deal, right? So intentionally pray and be aware. Who's next? Because we're growing. Okay, it may not look like it, but we're growing. God is moving. There's no doubt in my mind that God's moving in this church, in this community, in the world that we live in. Okay? But he wants us to be looking for who's next. Amen? So we get to Acts chapter 6. Only 7 verses today. Hope you brought your lunch. But as believers rapidly multiplied, there were rumblings of discontent. Oh, really? Did that really happen? Does that really? There'd be enough cake for everybody, okay? Just don't worry. Don't eat two before everybody has one. You ever have to do that in church functions? You know? I have this thing inside of me that I'm never comfortable at a buffet. Because I don't think there'll be enough food for me. Okay, so sometimes I satisfy that by being first in line, but it's not a good thing for me to be first in line, is it? Is it? And I sit there with the angst waiting. I hope there's enough. And I have to tell myself, don't worry about it. You're fat. You'll be all right. You're not going to die if there isn't enough. Okay? But we have these rumblings, don't we? This little discontent there. How many people, and be honest, but don't say it, okay? Just think it, okay? This is rhetorical. I don't dare. Keep quiet. How many of you go home after Sunday and say, geez, I wish it was this way. Or I wish we did that. Or how come we did that and not this, okay? They're in there, folks. Even the best of us. Even the best of us. You know, that's why pastors get wives. Because, you know, we're driving home. And I said, man, that was the greatest service. That was a great sermon. And she just looks at me and says, then why isn't the church full? Crash burn. Okay? There's always rumblings and you know, not everything's the way we want it to be, is it? Not everything's the way we think it should be. Well, there was no difference here, but there was a difference in how they handled it. That's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about it. It said, the Greek-speaking believers complained that the Hebrew-speaking believers, saying that their widows were being discriminated against in the daily distribution of food. Wow, there it is, discrimination. Discrimination. Those Greeks and those Hebrews can't get along, can they? They're getting more food than we are, and they're getting theirs first, and we want ours first, because there might not be enough. You know, you might run out of food, and then somebody's going to go without. I remember this guy. Well, you feed him. He says, we only got, like, you know, a couple loaves of bread and a few fish. How are we going to do that? Just come here. Bring it here. Let me pray over it. Go feed him. And they had stuff left over. Okay, so the first lesson we learn here today, will we ever go without if we're following God's will? No. We may not have what we want or an abundance, but we will never be short. Okay? And as long as we're where God wants us to be, He promised us to provide, right? Right? The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need, right? That's what David said. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. We can go all the way back to whatever version you want to quote it out. I kind of like the I have all that I need deal, right? All right? But we struggle with that, don't we? We struggle, and they struggled with it. When we see a great multitude of church people, and I've been in churches that didn't want to grow because then it meant they had to share stuff with other people. If you can believe that. That's true. You keep talking about them. What about us? This is for us. We don't want to share it with them. That's a great Christian attitude, isn't it? No wonder it died. I couldn't even resurrect. Jesus wasn't even allowed in the building. Own up to it, folks. Okay? We're human. Wherever two people are together, there is what? A difference of opinion. Okay? Growing pain. Historically, this verse, the one I just read, is not only one of the most important acts, it is also one of the most complicated and most discussed verses in the entire book. Why is that? Conflict is not ignored. How many times in our life is conflict ignored and not dealt with? Man avoids conflict. Man doesn't want to be in conflict with anybody. Man wants to sweep it under the rug. Man wants to ignore it and act like it doesn't exist. Right? Okay. We can't have disagreements. Why can't we all just get along? Why can't we all just get along? God doesn't deal with conflict that way. God knows there's conflict. God knows that we're not going to see things the same way, right? How many denominations are there? You know, Wednesday night, Sonny came to Bible study, and he asked a question. He says, so what is the Lutherans, the Methodists, the Episcopals, the Catholics? So what is all that? That's man not seeing eye to eye. That's what it is. It's what it is, just a difference of opinion. Doesn't matter in a grand scheme of things. Not in the kingdom of God, it doesn't matter. There's a joke. Be quiet when we go past this room, because put your religion here. They think they're the only ones here. Okay? You know, in heaven, we're all going to be there. John said in Revelation, and I turned and I saw a multitude from every nation on earth which no man can count. All right? We're all going to be there. Whether we divide ourselves or sector ourselves or however. God doesn't deal with conflict the way that we deal with conflict. There are differences of opinion. We see things differently and we disagree. Shake your head. That's okay. That's okay. Okay? One of the biggest things that a church can do to handicap themselves is say that every decision has to be unanimous. Why is that? Because you're letting the least spiritually mature person in the congregation decide what your next decision is going to be. All right? Because you're not relying on the most spiritually mature to guide and direct. Okay? If you let everybody have the same voice, then the least spiritually mature has got to be on board before you can move forward. Least common denominator. Okay, we use it in our public schools and it's not working well for us. Okay, we can't, no child left behind. Well, we should be moving children into classes that are their speed, not keeping this guy that's 3 miles ahead with this guy who's 2 miles behind. Okay? Good people can disagree on things without dividing. Okay? And case in point, stand up, Rick. Folks, I could see his eyes nodding and stuff. I just dozed. Stand up, Rick. Art, would you ever wear that shirt? Okay, man. Save that shirt. We got a place for it. All right? I can tell you that those guys disagree on what shirt to wear, right? Right? Okay, but that's okay. That's okay. We can disagree on things and not divide, all right? It's all right. So how do we handle this? How do we handle this? I don't know. We save that shirt because Art's going to wear it one day. I can guarantee he's going to wear it one day. Oh, thanks for being willing to be sermon illustrations, guys. I appreciate that. But it's good to be candid once in a while, too. So the 12 called a meeting of the believers. The 12. They said, we apostles should spend our time teaching the Word of God, not running a food program. Sounds reasonable, right? Got Brian and Florence to run a food program. If you don't know, they run a food program, and they're very good at it, but we'll get to that down the road. In their past, they're food program runners. So if we ever need a food program run, God's already provided the folks that can handle it for us. And Deb, she finds food everywhere. So we got three. That's good, right? And so, brothers, select 7 men who are well-respected and full of the Spirit and wisdom. Okay? Let's unpack that a little bit. What does that mean? It's not a good thing. What does it mean? It means there's other people who aren't full of the Spirit and aren't so wise, okay? And aren't well-respected, okay? So you have to, when you read Scripture, you have to realize that if they're telling them to find 7 guys that are well-respected, full of the Spirit, and are wise, that doesn't mean everybody fits into that category. There's some of us, okay, that aren't so smart. wouldn't be considered wise, you know. And that's okay. That's okay. Go find the dumber than a stump guy and put him in charge of the food program because we don't want to be. No, that's not what they said, right? Why do they have to be full of the Spirit? They need God's heart. They need God's heart to do God's work. Why do they need to be well-respected? Because then when they tell somebody to do something, they'll do it. Right? Right? And why do they need to be wise? Well, I've heard some good stories before. One of the handicaps of pastors is we'll believe anything. You know, and people know that, and they'll call right after service is over and say, "Hey man, I just need a room for the night. Can you call this hotel for me? The manager's willing to take your card and give me a room for the night. Would you just call and help them? Oh man, I'm down on my luck. I need a bus ticket home. Can you just Western Union me the cost of a bus ticket so I can get home?" Right? Right? All right? Why do they need to be wise? Linda, share with them. Excuse me. Kevin, where's the thing? Here. This is why they need to be wise. Stand up and tell them how easy it is to hand out free stuff in Haiti. Oh. CT, what?
Are you talking about the glow stick?
It doesn't matter what we handed out.
We had glow sticks.
Glow necklaces,
something, glow bracelets, I don't know, for the kids. And we made the mistake of going out on the porch after a service to hand them out. And before we knew it, there was a stampede of adults coming through, and people were just grabbing from us from all directions, and there was no line, and we were pretty much at the point where Don's like, just throw them
up in the air and run.
They don't get much stuff, you know, and so when there's something free and it looks cute and pretty, the adults wanted it too, not just the kids. Yeah, we learned you got to be organized.
We learned we selectively give things away. So when we had shoes and clothes and things like that, we would ask the elders of the village, select families, personally invite them to come at an appointed time. We'd let one family in at a time. They would select one item, and then they would go. Otherwise, chaos ensued. So they have to be wise. They have to be well-respected. And they have to have the heart of God. Pretty good instructions, right? Then we apostles can spend our time in prayer and teaching the word. Okay? So now we start to see a division of responsibility. Do you remember that Moses sat on the seat of judgment, correct? And what did he do all day? He just listened to people complain about other people. And then he determined who was right and who was wrong and made a judgment. You know, at first it was just a couple hours. Then it became 24/7, 365. And he said, "I can't do this," right? And God said, "Okay, find some wise people and appoint them to take care of the little stuff, and you can focus on the big stuff." We have to understand that we're not all wired to do the same thing. We don't see things the same way. There's not a lot of people that can dress like this and walk out that door and go. Okay? That's okay. God said, "You figure out who the ones that can are and put them in business." He says, "And the ones that can't, you find something else for them to do." I don't know. Hey, I fit in these pants. I haven't worn these pants in a long time, and I fit in them this morning. No, I don't think you're going to wear these, but but we're not all equipped the same. We don't all have the same understanding. That's not a reason to divide, and that's not a reason to discredit and say you're not valuable to God. We just got to figure out where you are. The apostles' response to conflict was to call all the Christians together and suggest a solution. It is significant that the apostles were not prepared simply to ignore the problem. How many times does leadership say, "Deal with it"? Okay? How many times do those you look to for guidance and direction say, "Deal with it"? Right? What does that tell us about God when we go to Him with our problem? He doesn't care, right? Yes, he does. He has a solution, right? This is how God works. So don't not go to God with your problems, because he's not like your human supervisor. He's not like your human boss. He's not going to say, deal with it, like they tell Corey to when he says, there's only 24 hours in a day. I can't possibly do all this. Make it happen. You're good. You're good. You're our best guy. I know you can do it, right? God's got a solution. It says they understood that spiritual and material concerns are so intimately related. They were talking about teaching God's word, okay, and praying. And the complaint was about food, okay, spiritual and material things, right? That they understood how connected those were. They understood. One always affects the other, for better or worse. Okay? If you're lacking something, how effective are you at ministering to somebody else? Whether it's material or physical. Right? And if you digest that a little bit, you'll figure out that what do we need? We need to have our needs met. Okay? God promises to meet our needs. Why? Why? So that we can be useful. Because if our needs aren't met, what do? We're so focused on meeting our own needs that we forget about everybody else. So it's part of the plan for God to meet our needs, both spiritual and physical. John 21, where was Christ? On the beach, cooking breakfast. Do you not think he had something more important to do? Do you think he could have come up with something more important to do than cooking the disciples that were out fishing all night and caught nothing, cooking them breakfast? No, why? Because he provides what we need, and both spiritually and materially. He's on the beach and he fed them and he forgave them. Why? So they could go out and do what God wanted them to do. Don't look past this. Okay, God's in the need providing business. There is a plan. He has a purpose. And he has a solution. Notice what they didn't do. They didn't assign blame. Oh, it's their fault. The Hebrews are pointing at the Greeks. The Greeks are pointing at the Hebrews, right? The apostles didn't side one with the other, did they? No. And they didn't act in a paternalistic fashion.
Well, I'm your father and I said so.
Okay, they didn't tell them what to do because we said so. Right? Those are tendencies we have as human beings to solve problems and conflict, right? Those aren't biblical. Those aren't biblical. Rather, their suggestion was that 7 men full of the Spirit and wisdom be chosen from among the congregation who could take responsibility for that. They didn't ask for volunteers, okay? That doesn't work, okay? Okay? They didn't ask for volunteers. They said, who has God called to this task? Go figure out who God called to. How do we figure that out? Got to talk to God. Got to plug into God and say, God, man, they're asking me, who should we set apart to do this? Not who you think should be set apart, who God has set apart to do this. And then we call them, right? And we set them apart. And does it work? No, I'm too busy. I got other things to do. No, I'm not really cut out for that. If God told you who to call apart and we identify them, the Spirit's already convicted them. Whether they think they can do it or not, the Spirit's there. And the Holy Spirit is interwoven in this whole process. One little verse, folks. One little verse. Gives us a lot of insight, doesn't it? Everyone liked the idea. Well, there we go. That's pretty cool, huh? How could that happen?
God be God, because I've come up with some good ideas, some real good ideas that not everybody's liked. Okay? It only can be God's solution if everybody says, oh, wow, that makes sense. Yeah, that's good. It's a good idea. And it only gets to everyone like the idea because everyone individually went to God and asked God's opinion. Many, 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 many times in church, we think we know what the right choice is. And we think we know who should do what. And we never go to God. And we never ask Him. Because He just might surprise you. He just might surprise you. And they chose the following: Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit; Philip, Prochornus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, I can't even get, I've tried so long, and Nicholas. If you don't think that I try to pronounce these names before I get up here, can't you just like Larry, Curly, and Moe, please? And Nicholas of Antioch, an early convert to the Jewish faith. These seven were presented to the apostles, okay? The congregation said, these are the guys, and they brought them to the apostles, who prayed for them as they laid hands on them. And they set them apart to take care of part of the ministry. To make sure. Guess what? You remember a few weeks ago I asked you how many people needed to be on the in and out for each committee? Does anybody remember? All of us. That's right. We're not all going to do the same thing, right? We're not all going to do the same thing, but we all have to be part of it. And there may some of us be just the praying part. They may be in the background, just praying. And there may be people laying under an RV on Hayward Street. We don't even know they're there, but they're doing what God wants them to do, right? See, in that. So when I look at that as a pastor, okay, that is so encouraging. That is so encouraging to me that I've got people that are listening to God and they're going to do what God directs them to do no matter what it is, because they're filled with the Spirit and they're committed to serve God. Not serve me, but they're committed to serve God, and that is tremendously encouraging. The apostles made a proposal. The community of believers selected seven men. The apostles therefore laid their hands on the seven. Okay, they didn't question them. They just said, these are the seven. Okay, we're going to pray over them. We're going to lay hands on them. They laid hands on the seven, which is to symbolize, similar to Moses, the apostles delegating their authority to the seven men selected. We are in agreement with the congregation. Let's set you apart for this purpose. So, what was the result? Let's read it together. So, God's message continued to spread. Stop there. All right? God's message continued to be spread. That's the outcome of everything that God does. Okay? Was God's message communicated? Yes, no matter what you did. Are we honoring God in our actions, our words, and how we let Him use us? The number of believers greatly increased in Jerusalem, and many of the Jewish priests were converted too. Now, there's a little bit of cha-ching. Okay, who imprisoned Peter and John? The priests. And what do they start figuring out? Remember what that guy said last week? He said, look, if this is just of man, it'll die out. When they die, it'll die. Nothing. But if this is God, you can find yourself fighting against God. Okay, and some of the priests, they weren't too, they said, wait a minute. Well, look at what's going on here. I'm not going to fight against God. I'm going to join up. I'm going to join up. Now, some were still stubborn and ego and pride and things wouldn't let them. But some of them figured it out. Some actually had the Holy Spirit in. And they said, I'm going to think about that transaction, folks. We're talking about priests submitting to the apostles' authority. Okay? We're starting to see mountains moved. We're starting to see fortresses torn down. We're starting to see God tear down the temple and rebuild. Okay? Amen? Amen.
Great is your faithfulness. So as you go through your week, may you remember how great His faithfulness is to you. He is never going to let go of you. He's going to stand by your side the whole time. Every trial, every challenge you have, God is with you. He didn't come into the world to condemn you. He came into the world to save you. All of us should be just so joyful, so amazed at His presence. And may that blessing be upon you all week long, to be amazed at God and amazed that He saved you and wants to be with you. We thank you, Jesus. It's your holy name we praise. Amen.